All right, we're going to look at part three of Land, A Good Foundation. So turn to Hebrews chapter 2. The purpose of this teaching is to, we should be able to give an answer to people, why do you do what you do? People say, well, why do you do, you know, why do y'all speak in tongues? Why do y'all, you know, we talked about baptisms, repentance of dead works. So this particular is going to be laying on of hands. You know, why do you do what you do? All right? Hebrews 2 says, therefore, verse 1, therefore we ought to give them our earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense or reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him? So, Jesus, when he came, he set the example. These things that I've, this part three here, everything that I'm talking about that's included, we're going to look in Hebrews 6, Jesus did. All right? Now I go to Hebrews 6. Therefore, leaving the principles, verse 1, of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on to perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God, of the doctrine of baptisms and of laying on of hands and of resurrection of the dead and of eternal judgment. And this will we do if God permit. All right? So these things that ought to be established that every Christian knows. And if anyone asks a question that doesn't understand, then we need to impart that to them. Because that's what we read over in chapter 2. That it was what Jesus did and what they heard. Those that were with Jesus, they heard from them what he did. Okay. Laying, the word laying means to just put on. Put your hands on. Okay, we're going to start with the ministry of Jesus, and then we're going to into more of the apostles in the book of Acts. All right, Matthew chapter 19 will be the first one. Then when they brought unto him little children, that he should put his hands on them and pray, and the disciples rebuked them. But Jesus said, suffer little children and forbid them not to come unto me, for such is the kingdom of God. And he laid his hands on them and departed thence. So, you know, I got to thinking about that. Seems in Jesus' day, the wicked leaders were there too. Don't think for a minute that the Moloch and Baal worshipers were not around. Because that was Israel's way. When they get out of God's will, they went to Baal and Moloch worship. Think about before Jesus was born, what was going on? Kill all the babies. Boy babies. What happened when they come out of Egypt? Killing all the boy babies. What's happening now? Kill all the babies, period. Jesus blessed the little children, laid his hands on them and blessed them. Dear to his heart. All right. Mark 6. Let's look at that. You know, they criticized him for doing so. The left would make you think that it's, you know, children are not a treasure to them. They're God's most precious. Okay, Mark 6. I've noticed this about Mexican people. If they see a baby, they have to put their hand on them. And I remember asking someone about that one time, and they said they believe you're blessed. And it seemed like they say something. It's something about a blessing, or you receive a blessing when you put your hand on a child because they're close to God, you know. All right, Mark 6, verse 1. And he went out from thence and came into his own country, and his disciples followed him. And when the Sabbath day was come, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many hearing him were astonished, saying, from whence hath this man these things, and what wisdom is this which is given unto him, that even such mighty works are wrought by his hands? His hands? Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother of James, and of Joseph, and of Judah, and Simon? And are not his sisters here with us? And they were offended at him. And Jesus said unto them, a prophet is not without honor, but in his own country, and among his own kin, and in his own house. And he could there do no mighty work, save that he laid his hands upon a few sick folk and healed them. And he marveled at because of their unbelief, and he went round about the villages teaching. So this was a common practice. You know, they thought it was strange. What was happening? Jesus didn't move independently of the Father. What was happening? When he laid hands on, he was transferring his Father's power to that person. He said, my Father in me's doing the works. Are we any different? Isn't the Father in us doing the works? Jesus came as a man like we are. He was not, he's the Son of God. He could do anything. Well, no, he could not. Because if he had done anything, he would have been outside of the Father's will. He became a man. Laid the God part aside. And God anointed him. When John prayed for him, the Holy Ghost came on him. And then he started going about doing good and heeding all that will press to the devil, for God was with him. And he would transfer that power from his hands, not always. He didn't always touch them, but most of the times he did. Sometimes he'd say, get up and walk or whatever. But that power was transferred. We're going to see as we go a little bit further, you'll see that. So he laid hands on the sick to impart healing. All right, now go look at Luke. Now you can tell people, well, I can give you this scripture, that scripture, this scripture, that scripture, of where Jesus laid hands. Now we're going to look at others where the disciples laid hands. Luke 4:38. And he arose out of the synagogue and entered into Simon's house. And Simon's wife's mother was taken with a great fever, and they besought him for her. And he stood over her and rebuked the fever, and it left her. And immediately she arose and ministered unto them. This time he didn't touch anyone, but he rebuked it. Now when the sun was setting, all they that had any sick with divers diseases brought them unto him, and he laid his hands on every one of them and healed them. Maybe Father said, lay hands on them this time. No, this time, just speak to the fever, rebuke the fever. And devils came out of many, crying out and saying, thou art Christ, the Son of God, and rebuking them, suffer them not to speak, for they knew that he was Christ. All right, let's keep going here. Hands were laid on people for divine healing and deliverance from devils. All right. Luke 13. Verse 10. And he was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath, and behold, there was a woman which had a spirit of infirmity 18 years, and was bowed together and could no wise lift up herself. And when Jesus saw her, he called her to him and said unto her, Woman, thou art loosed from thine infirmities. And he laid his hands on her. And immediately she was made straight and glorified God. And the ruler of the synagogue answered with indignation, because that Jesus had healed on the Sabbath day, and said unto the people, There are 6 days in which men ought to work, and them therefore come and be healed, and not on the Sabbath day. The Lord then answered him and said, Thou hypocrite, doth not each one of you on the Sabbath loose his ox or his ass from the stall, and lead him away to watering? And ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan hath bound, lo, these 18 years, be loosed from this bond on the Sabbath days? He put him to absolute shame. And when he had said these things, all his adversaries were ashamed, and all the people rejoiced for all the glorious things that were done by him. Jesus cast out devils by how? It says the finger of God, not his finger. All right. The laying on of hands transfers the power. All right, go to Mark 16. Well, let's go to 14 here. Afterward, he appeared unto the 11 as they sat at meat, and upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they believed not them which had seen him after he was risen. And he said unto them, Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils, they shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. So the same thing Jesus did was imparted to the disciples. We're all disciples. He handed down the Great Commission. Wasn't Jesus kind of doing the Great Commission? Wasn't that what he was about? And then he transferred it to his disciples. All right. The Lord years ago said to me that healing is my calling card. You know, you get somebody in dire straits and they get healed, they're going to hear the gospel, aren't they? Because it's a message of hope. Gospel means good news. So it's a message that, you know, it's like bait on your hook. A lot of times that's how the Lord will lead me when I'm around a person and I'm trying to look for a hook into their life to introduce Jesus or whatever it is. A lot of times he will use, they need healing, or they got somebody in their family that needs healing. And you give them a God's medicine or something, and they see results, kind of like your friend. They see results from that, and it makes them receptive. Well, if God loves me that much, he'd heal me. He's who I need to serve. This is the kind of God I want. That it's not just all talk, but it's that he really shows up. He really does something. I've been in this church all my life and never seen nothing. No power, no help. All right, let's keep going here. Jesus told them when he left, you go wait until you be endued with power from on high. Right? Don't try to go do anything now. Go. He told them where to go. All right, we're going to look at that. This is Acts chapter 1. I don't know how people that don't have the infilling of the Holy Spirit do it. This is Acts 1. Let's just start with verse 1. It says, The former treatise, I don't know how you say that, have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and to teach. See, he was an example that we are to follow. That's why he came. He came to show us the way. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Okay, so we follow in the footsteps of Jesus. Until the day in which he was taken up, after that he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. And being assembled together. See, healing the kingdom of God. I think I brought this up Sunday. I feel like the Lord's kind of given me a revelation that when the kingdom of God is here, when evil is removed, then healing is just going to appear. It's just going to happen. There will be no barriers from what God set down in the beginning in the garden. There was none of this garbage that we've had to live through all of our life. God is good, and he can't be anything but good. Now, he's going to judge his enemies. Our enemies are his enemies, and he's going to judge them, and he's going to put them where they belong. But for his people, he's going to wipe away all tears. There will never be anything that is contrary or negative to goodness. Just picture that. Just sit and think about that, especially in light of what you're going through, about how it's going to be. And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which he saith, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? Israel's not ready. Kind of like, we're not ready. There's a whole lot of stuff that's going to go on to usher the kingdom of God in. If you notice the things of God, it isn't just bam, bam, thank you, ma'am. No, it's not. It's an out with the old, in with the new. It has to do with the wine going into a new wineskin. That's the way it's going to be. But it's sure going to be nice with no demons around, isn't it? And he said to them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power, but ye shall receive power. In other words, quit worrying about the future. You need to look at the step in front of you, what's coming, what your assignment is. That's what he was telling them. He said, I'm going to give you power to do that. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem, and in all Judea, and in Samaria, and to the uttermost part of the earth. So, what did he say? At that time, there was no church. And they all just got born again. And they're fixing to get filled with the Spirit. And what happened after that? They started going. The church started growing. Because they started going. No show, no go. No church. Same way with the kingdom of God being ushered in. When he had spoken these things while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And when they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus which is taken up from you into heaven shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. There's several accounts of that. When people start talking about the rapture, they can't give you anything but that one scripture over there in Thessalonians. They don't have no witnesses. But it's told several times in the scriptures and the epistles about him coming in the clouds. And every eye shall see him. All right? Then they returned, they into Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is from Jerusalem, a Sabbath day's journey. And when they were come in, they went up into an upper room where abode both Peter and James and John and Andrew, Philip, Thomas, Bartholomew, Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus, and Simon Zelotes, and Judas the brother of James. These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary the mother of Jesus and with his brethren. And in those days, Peter stood up. I'm not going to read about Peter. We're not going to do that because I don't think that was the Lord. They elected Matthias to be one of the 12th disciple. You never hear about him again. All right, let's go over here. But he wasn't filled with power yet, was he? He's still old Peter doing old Peter's thing. All right, let's go to 2. Start about 14 there. But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, "You men of Judea and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you and hearken to my words." See, the Holy Spirit came. They heard him speaking in tongues. I guess I should read that part. Right here, verse 1, "And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all filled with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the house where they were sitting, and there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance." All right, and it talks about this. All kinds of different people from different countries there in Jerusalem at this time. Because it was Passover. All right. All right, here, "But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, Ye men of Judea, and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken to my words, for these are not drunken as ye suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel, and it shall come to pass in the last day, saith God, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaidens I'll pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in heaven above and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the great and notable day of the Lord." As I stand here, the Lord quickened to me a passage of Scripture about the Good Samaritan. He talks about that he left on a journey and he came back in 2 days. That's 2,000 years. We're at that period. "In the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children, to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call." And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, "Save yourselves from this untoward generation." Then they that gladly received his word was baptized, and the same day there was added unto them about 3,000 souls. Even Phil said something the other night which kind of astounded me. He said, "Do you ever notice something seems to happen about every 2,000 years?" Yeah. "And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together and had all things common, sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men as every man had need. And they continually daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved." Then chapter 3, we see a major thing here. After the power showed up. "Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the night there. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple, who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asking alms. Peter fastened his eyes upon him with John, said, Look on us. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and walk. And he took him by the hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. And they knew that it was he which sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple, and they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto him." Yeah, right there at the temple door. All right, let me see here. There's a point here I want to make about this story. I don't think I wrote it down. Maybe it's chapter 4. It's chapter 4. As a result of what happened, they get thrown in jail. All right? Okay, 4. Start with verse 1. And as they spake unto the people, the priest and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, being grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead. And they laid hands on them and put them in hold until the next day, for it was now eventide. Howbeit, when many of them which heard the word believed, and the number of the men was about 5,000. And it came to pass on the morrow that their rulers and elders and scribes and Annas the high priest and Caiaphas and John and Alexander, as many as were of the kindred of the high priest, were gathered together at Jerusalem. When they had set him in the midst, they said, "By what power or by what name have you done this?" Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, "Ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means he is made whole, be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole." In other words, he's saying, we didn't do it. God did it. God's power did it through Peter. "This is the stone which set it not of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in the other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men, whereby we must be saved. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled, and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. And beholding the man which was healed standing with him, they could say nothing against it. But when they had commanded them to go aside out of the council, they conferred among themselves, saying, What shall we do to these men? For they indeed, a notable miracle has been done by them, is manifest to all them that dwell in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. But that it spread no further among the people, it has straitly threatened them, that they speak henceforth to no man in this name. And they called them and commanded them not to speak at all, nor teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said unto them, Rather it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge ye. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. So when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding nothing how they might punish them because of the people. For all men glorified God for that which was done. For the man was about 40 years old, on whom the miracle of healing was showed." So guess what happens when you get full of the power? People are going to notice. People are looking for answers. People are looking for God's help. And when they see you praying for somebody, laying hands on somebody, and the power is imparted to them, and they get well, they want some of that. It's a good thing. Peter said, "It's not by my power." He said, "It's by the power of Jesus Christ this man stands before you whole." It's not of us. The power of God is not of us. It's Him. Christ in you, the hope of glory, for sure. All right, Acts chapter 5, verse 12. "And by the hands of the apostles were many signs and wonders wrought among the people. And they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch." That's a temple. "And of the rest durst no man join himself to them, but the people magnified them, and believers were the more added to the Lord, multitudes both of men and women, insomuch that they brought forth the sick into the streets and laid them on beds and couches, that the least the shadow of Peter passing by might overshadow some of them. There came also a multitude out of the cities round about unto Jerusalem, bringing sick folks, and them which were vexed with unclean spirits, and they were healed every one." Well, the leaders laid hands on people right here. "Then the high priest rose up, and all that were with him, which is the sect of the Sadducees, and were filled with indignation, and laid their hands on the apostles and put them in the common prison. But the angel of the Lord by night opened the prison doors and brought them forth and said, Go stand and speak in the temple to the people all the words of this life." Even the jail couldn't hold them because of the power of God. Hey, we got the same power in us that they had in them. No difference. All right. Just think about your shadow. Here Peter's teaching, talking about Jesus, and he's walking and sick people everywhere. Everywhere his shadow touched, they were healed. All right. Acts chapter 6, verse 1. And in those days, when the number of the disciples were multiplied, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration. Then the 12 called the multitude of the disciples unto them and said, It is not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you seven men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. And the saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Ghost, and Philip, and Prochorus, and Nicanor, and Timon, and Parmenas, and Nicholas, a proselyte of Antioch, whom they set before the apostles, and when they had prayed, they laid their hands on them. They imparted an anointing on them. And the word of God increased, and the number of the disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly, and a great company of the priests were obedient to the faith. So not only was it for healing, it also imparted transfers of anointings onto people. And they, you know, we'll see some more of that as we go along. Yeah. Right here, verse 8, and Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and miracles among the people, just like the apostles did. Yeah. Transfer of anointings. All right, go to chapter 8. Let me get me a drink right quick. So what have we seen? Laying on of hands, what? For healing. Now for transference of anointings. All right, let's keep going. And Saul was consenting unto his death, talking about Stephen's death. And at that time there was a great persecution against the church, which was at Jerusalem. And they were all scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. And devout men carried Stephen to his burial and made great lamentation over him. As for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering into every house and hailing men and women, committed them to prison. Therefore, they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. And the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. For unclean spirits, crying with loud voice, came out of many that were possessed with them, and many taken with palsies, and that were lame were healed. And there was great joy in the city. But there was a certain man called Simon, which before time in the same city used sorcery, and bewitched the people of Samaria, giving out that he himself was some great one, to whom they all gave heed, from the least to the greatest, saying, This man is the great power of God. And to him they had regard, because that of long time he had bewitched them with sorceries. But when they believed Philip, preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God in the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. Then Simon himself believed also, and when he was baptized, he continued with Philip and wondered, beholding the miracles and signs which were done. Now when the apostles which were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent unto them Peter and John, who when they were come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Ghost. For as yet he was fallen upon none of them, only they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then laid they their hands on them, and they received the Holy Ghost. So, and when Simon saw that through the laying on of the apostles' hands the Holy Ghost was given, he offered them money, saying, Give me also this power, that on whosoever I lay my hands, he may receive the Holy Ghost. Well, Peter rebukes him, says, You can't buy the gift of God. It only comes one way. All right, so we see here what's happening with the laying on of hands, healing the sick, imparting anointings, and now we see to fill people with the Holy Ghost. All right. Acts 13. And now there were in the church that was in Antioch certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas and Simeon, who was called Niger. In fact, Niger's in the news. It's a big deal right now, the nation of Niger. Yeah. And Lucius of Cyrene and Manon, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch and Saul, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, "Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereto I've called them." When they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. So they, being sent forth by the Holy Ghost, departed into Seleucia, and from thence they sailed to Cyprus. So here they are laying hands and parting ministry. The Holy Ghost, by the Holy Ghost instruction, and sent them out. All right, imparted power to minister. All right, Acts chapter 19. All right. This is the one that I'll just start with verse 1. And it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus, and finding certain disciples, he said unto them, "Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed?" And they said unto him, "We have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost." And he said unto them, "Unto what then were you baptized?" And they said, "Unto John's baptism." Then said Paul, "John verily baptized with baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should receive on him which should come after him, that is, on Christ Jesus." When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid his hands upon them, the Holy Ghost came on them, and they spake with tongues and prophesied. And all the men were about 12, and he went into the synagogue and spake boldly for the space of 3 months, disputing and persuading the things concerning the kingdom of God. But when divers were hardened and believed not, but spake evil of that way before the multitude, he departed from them and separated the disciples, disputing daily in the school of Tyrannus. And this continued by the space of 2 years, so that all they which dwelt in Asia heard the word of the Lord, both Jews and Greeks. And God wrought special miracles by the hands of Paul, so that from his body were brought into the sick handkerchiefs or aprons. Now, this is the one I forgot, so I had to write it down. Handkerchiefs is like a sweat cloth. It would be something since, you know, they don't have any refrigeration. So they're constantly wiping sweat. Or an apron, which is like a narrow covering that, like if they were a workman, they wore aprons. It was something that was prayed over that was next to their body, made contact with their flesh, okay? So that from his body were brought into the sick handkerchiefs or aprons, and the diseases departed from them, and the evil spirits went out of them. You know, Brother Hagin, he talked a lot about this. I can remember one where he had, I guess it was a meeting, a seminar or something like that, and they had somebody bring, I think it was 5 different people, they prayed over handkerchiefs, and they had their names attached, pinned to the handkerchief. He prayed over each one. They took them back to the people, and every one of them got healed. He talks about a woman out of her mind. Just suddenly, one day, a few days later, after the handkerchief, I mean, he had several instances where he tells in his, you know, his devotionals, that she suddenly in her right mind, she'd been in an institution, an insane asylum for years. One lady, her sister, had been in the same asylum for years. They brought her home, and they pinned to her a handkerchief that was prayed over. And just all of a sudden, one day, she's in her right mind. Those are demons. Deliverance from demons. Okay? All right. Let's keep going here. 19. I already got 19. All right. Well, let me keep reading because I have it down here. Then certain of the vagabond Jews, exorcists, took upon them to call over them which had evil spirits in the name of the Lord Jesus, saying, "We adjure you by Jesus whom Paul preacheth." And there were 7 sons, one Sceva, a Jew, and chief of the priest, which did so. And the evil spirit answered and said, "Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are you?" They knew Paul had the power, but they didn't. They knew these guys didn't. And the man in whom the evil spirit was leaped on them and overcame them and prevailed against them, so they fled out of the house naked and wounded. And this was known to all the Jews and Greeks also dwelling at Ephesus, and fear fell on all them all, and the name of the Lord Jesus was magnified. And many that believed came and confessed and showed their deeds. Many of them also, which used curious arts, brought their books together, burned them before all men, and they counted the price of them and found it 50,000 pieces of silver. So mightily grew the word of God and prevailed. What are you talking about? Cleaning out the place of the demonic entities that was going on. All right, let's go to Acts 28. This is Paul on the Isle of Patmos. You know, the snake come out of the viper came out. Anyway, these people on the island, they saw this. All right, let me pick up with 8. And it came to pass that the father Publius lay sick of a fever and of a bloody flux, to whom Paul entered in and prayed and laid his hands on him and healed him. So when this was done, others also which had diseases in the island came and were healed. All right, one more scripture and we'll be done. This is 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 10 and 11 here. Paul makes this statement, according to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. So all of this was done by the Spirit, this doctrine at work, laying on of hands. All by the inspiration of the Holy Ghost. It wasn't just something that they did, but it was something that was led by the Spirit. And when they were led by the Spirit, the power of God met them where they were. All right.